Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
UCLA is a university with unlimited possibilities for students that desire world-class academics and research, unmatched diversity, incredible cultural and social opportunities, successful alumni and career networking, first-class campus facilities, plus America's top intercollegiate sports teams. Located in Westwood, just a few miles from the Pacific Ocean, UCLA's one-square-mile campus is surrounded by famous cities such as Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Brentwood, and Santa Monica.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk. I'm Dave Marcus, joined by Naomi Manea. It is springtime, and a couple of the most successful programs in UCLA sports are getting ready for tournament time. We're going to talk baseball in just a minute with TJ Bruce.
Before we meet our first guest, let's take a look at this week's upcoming events.
UCLA baseball rolled right into the national consciousness last year with a run to the finals of the College World Series. The Bruins are hoping to get back. They got a big bullseye on their chest this season. And one of the guys who's going to try to get them back to Omaha is UCLA assistant coach TJ Bruce. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you for having me.
And welcome to Westwood. It's your first season as an assistant coach on the baseball team. Have you liked being in blue and gold?
It is. It's awesome. I'm fortunate to be here with Coach Savage, Coach Vanderhook. And, welcome to the UCLA family. It's great.
TJ, you work a lot with infielders, and we got to mention some prominent infielders you've worked with in the past. Troy Tulowitzki, who you played with, and Evan Longoria. Those guys are stars in the major league. Tell us about coaching guys who've gone on to such great heights.
You know, it's good. I think at the end of the day, you want them to be successful in whatever they do, and it just turned out that those two guys became really special baseball players and have went on to further their careers at the highest level they could, that we all have dreamed of getting there. They got special talents, and they're special people. They set the bar, at their position, and it's just been great to watch them develop as people and as well as baseball players.
Let's talk a little about the Bruin team. You're four games over 500 about halfway through the season, and we mentioned that there's a big bullseye. Mm-hmm. Teams come out firing for UCLA, don't they?
They do. We welcome it. We embrace it. We talk about it all the time with Coach Savage, Coach Vanderhook, as a team. It's all about embracing the target. It's where you want to be. You want to be at the top, and we love the challenge.
The Pac-10 has a lot of top-ranked teams this year. What are some advantages and disadvantages of playing in such a difficult conference?
Well, I think first and foremost, you're ready for postseason play. I think that's the best thing we look forward to playing in the Pac-10. I think as a coach, you always try to mark your guys, or when you're scheduling opponents, non-conference, and then obviously conference you can't control. But we know that we've put our guys up against the biggest test, and being in the Pac-10 with Stanford's and Oregon's and Oregon State's and Arizona's and everybody, we believe that our guys are battle-tested and ready to go into the postseason after coming through a tough Pac-10.
One of the things that's unique about baseball is you've got your conference series on the weekend, but you got a lot of Tuesday midweek games, and a lot of times you have to travel locally, which can be a demanding thing in Southern California. How do those games in the middle of the week prepare you for the twists and turns of the postseason when you don't know when you're going to be playing?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you go on the road, it prepares you for the postseason. And just as well as any coach will tell you, a good championship team has to not only dominate at home, but be good on the road. And, you know, we've had some good road tests. You know, UC Riverside, we've gone to Fullerton. At the end of the day, I think in postseason play, as you know, you're playing those teams throughout the season. And then, you know, most West Coast schools, we all get grouped together in the postseason, and some of us have to go on the road. So going to some different environments definitely works in our favor, being on the West Coast and traveling to Fullerton. And then, you know, it just will prepare us, because you never know what happens on Tuesdays.
You talk about the Bruins, you got to talk about pitching. And it starts at the top with Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole. They've had great years again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I've been fortunate in my short-lived career, you know, to be around some great pitching greats, and these are the two best that I've ever been around. They're so different, but yet so similar at the same time. The competitive spirit that they have amongst each other fuels the pitching staff. It fuels the team. You know, they're friends on the field. They're competitive on the field. You know, they do things, like I said, a little different, but at the end of the day, their best interest at heart is UCLA baseball, and they do whatever it takes to get us to the top.
We talk about those who have been there and have had the experience, but the UCLA has also had a really good recruiting class this year. How have the new players helped the team?
New players have been great. You know, I contribute that to the older players. Our recruiting class coming in was really good. You know, we had some pieces to fill, and we feel that we found our needs. And the older guys have taken these young freshmen or young JC transfers under their wing, and you know, they've kind of made them feel at home, and it's just been a really smooth transition. So not only is it is it good for the younger guys, but I think it tells a lot about your older guys.
And your older guys aren't that old. This is still a very young baseball team. What kind of progress have you noted from the start of the season to the point you're at now?
I think leadership. You know, I think that's the biggest thing when you talk in terms of maturing as a player and as a person. You know, coming in, like you said, you know, the Bo Amaralls and the Cody Kiefers and Cody Regises, all those guys were freshmen. Now, we all consider them older guys. Well, they're only sophomores. They're still 19, 20 years old. But I think a significant amount of playing time they got last year, and they were one of the few catalysts amongst many that got us to the postseason where we wanted to go. So, you know, I think that's just been a huge, huge help to UCLA.
John Savage is an expert at pitching. He was a pitching coach, then he became a head coach, always attracts great pitching. Behind the pitching, you got to have a good defense. Talk a little bit about your development from player to coach. You played at St. John Bosco, then Long Beach State, in the infield with guys that we talked about already. What are you working on with the infielders primarily to get that defense solid?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I try to develop is fundamentals. You know, I don't go too far out of scheme of baseball. I come from a great, great school of developing infielders. I was a part of it. Mike Weathers did a great job mentoring me, as well as some other guys, you know, guys that are now into pro ball coordinators and stuff. And, you know, the main thing we talk about is fundamentals. And that's a big deal. So it's, you know, catching the ball. It's making sure we're athletically in the right position to get rid of the ball. That's, you know, there's no secret. That was the biggest thing that we've tried to stress here at UCLA is just fundamentals. And it's great to work with Coach Van Erick and Coach Savage, who believe the same thing. They're all about fundamentals. They're all about just playing the game from A to Z. And, you know, we'll worry about the other trick stuff later. It's just about being fundamentally sound, and that's what I've tried to do.
The guys you're working with are such great athletes that they probably could get away in high school with not being so fundamentally sound. Is it really going back to the building blocks when they get in here?
Oh, yeah, that's the case you find out with everybody, and it's everybody I've worked with since I've been coaching to now is, you know, they're so athletically gifted to where they didn't have to rely on fundamentals. They just rely on athleticism. Well, now, you know, especially playing in the Pac-10, you better be – you know, come with your shoes tied and be fundamentally sound. And that's what we've tried to do. And that's, you know, we've knocked them down a little bit to where say, hey, this isn't what we're doing anymore. It worked for you here, but this is how we're going to get you to win here. And then hopefully, you know, you get a chance to move on if that's the case.
When it comes to recruiting, what things do you look for the most in a possible recruit?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the biggest thing is we like is athletes, and I think you look at athleticism. For me, being an infield guy, if I'm recruiting infielders, I always look at the shortstop, and that's a big deal because as a shortstop, as you know, they're the best athletes on the field, so to speak, you know, the middle of the diamond. And, you know, good feet, you know, we look for, you know, the running times, you know, what's their time from home to first? Are they smart baseball players? How's their base running instincts? You know, then you try to evaluate them on the offensive side, and you try to figure out where they're going to fit inside your lineup. Are they a three-hitter? Are they going to be a two-hole hitter or a nine-hitter? Maybe a skill guy. Just what do they bring differently, dynamically, to your lineup, and then can make your lineup even better and more of a threat on a day-in and day-out basis?
I got to ask you about the bats. It's been a big story all year in college baseball, but the new composite bats really do react differently than the old aluminum pingers in the past. What have you noticed through the first half of the season with the new bats?
They're playing a lot more like the wood bats, and you know, I think with anything, it's an adjustment time. We've had some time to adjust, but as you notice us now, offensively from January into February to now April, I think our guys have done a really good job at adjusting. Coach Vanderhoek does our hitting, and he's on them all the time about adjustments and, you know, how to make the swing work against certain pitchers. You know, other than that, I think the biggest thing is getting comfortable with it. And it, you're right, it does play like wood. You know, there's not the cheap home run anymore, as we call it. You know, it definitely benefits the pitcher and the defense now. But I do think, like it's with anything else, I think you need to be more sound with swings and know what you're doing and have the right approach. And we're fortunate enough to have Rick Vanderhoek, who does an unbelievable job with that. So I think it works in our favor.
From a defensive standpoint, your guys have to know how to recognize the bleeders now, the little rollers through the infield, the balls that are going to drop just over the shortstop. And I mean, you really have to – the ball comes off the bat differently when you're in the field.
It does. And, you know, I think the biggest difference is probably the fly ball to the outfielders. And like you said, the pop-ups or the little bleeders to the infielders, that's the biggest difference. The ground ball has been the same for the most part, believe it or not. So, you know, it's more going off of first step we like to preach and being your circles, as we call them, and you know, be ready to go when the ball's hit, and you know what, you know, the tendencies of what the hitter's doing, know what we're doing on the pitching side, know what the strengths and the weaknesses are of each player. That's going to benefit us.
TJ, you're not that far removed from your playing days. You get out there and get into the infield and show them how it's done?
I do. I actually do, and I love doing it. I actually just did it the other day, about 3 or 4 days ago. I like it because I'm still young enough to do it. I feel I have a pretty good feel for the infield play. So I think it's also good to keep that relationship, and it's a special bond I think I have in being so young and being so close to these kids in age. You know, they always think, well, you're telling me to do this, but you can't do it in a sense. We all know how kids are. And I get out there and do it, and it helps. And it just, like I said, it forms a relationship, and it, you know, it takes a little pressure off it as opposed to being the coach side of me and, you know, hitting a fungo and always being on them for certain things. Now I get out there and I do it myself, and, hey, I screw up too. And, you know, they get on me, and it's good. So I think the rapport is pretty good between player and coach. And I just, like I said, I try to show them the way that I was taught and the way I'm trying to teach them.
Coming back to this season, over the next few weeks, there are quite a few home games. So how does the crowd support help the team?
Crowd support's unbelievable. You know, being here in Westwood, they've been great. I just think it helps re-energize our guys, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, when you see your peers, student-athletes, when you see parents, bring up friends, I think that shows, you know, people that you care. And, you know, I know it's such a minute thing in the world, but, you know, when you're showing kids that you care, and we don't say it all the time, and I do it as a coach too, you never tell them that you really appreciate it. That in turn, it just helps us, you know, go on, and it feels like we have somebody behind us fighting the same battle as we are. And that's the benefit also of being here at UCLA, is everyone bleeds blue and gold, and, you know, we love to have more people at the park and get after it with us.
Well, some opportunities as the most exciting part of the season is yet to come. TJ Bruce, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on Bruin Talk. Welcome to Westwood.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
And we'll come back. Get ready. We're getting in the water right after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guests, let's take a look at this week's Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Trevor Bauer of the baseball team as our Student Athlete of the Week. Bauer was recently named Pac-10 Athlete of the Week and pitched 26 strikeouts and 16 scoreless innings for a 2-0 game. He also pitched a complete one-hit shutout against USC, striking out 14 batters. He now holds the UCLA record for career strikeouts after being eighth on the record list last season. Trevor's pitching also helped the team to a home sweep of Washington. Trevor's efforts have also been recognized by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. Congratulations, Trevor, and good luck to the rest of the team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
And one of the squads you're going to see featured on that website this time of year is the always successful women's water polo team. We're happy to be joined by a couple of members of the team, Larissa Tedisco and Hannah Siebenauer. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thanks for having us.
We're getting into a real interesting time of the season, the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation that the Bruins play in, the loaded conference in women's water polo, and you're getting down to the end of it with the tournament coming right around the corner. Hannah, what's the attitude of the team as you get into this tough stretch?
This isn't any situation that we haven't been in before, I think. So I wouldn't say that it's uncomfortable, and I wouldn't say that it's comfortable, but we kind of have a refocus this time of year, you know, and we set new goals again, and we relook at the old ones and evaluate where we're at. And I think one of the biggest things about our team is that throughout the season, you know, we may not always start out at a high point, but we continue growing, whereas a lot of teams, you know, start at the same point and end up at the same point, and we just usually keep going up. So hopefully this year we can do the same.
Yeah, Larissa, the Bruins are 19-5, 2-3 in the MPSF, but you've got three big games coming up all at home at the Speaker Aquatic Center. Got to be nice to getting back in your own pool.
Yeah, it's really nice. Last year we had a lot of away games, so it's really fun to play at home with, like, your own fans, and I think this Saturday's game is going to be really exciting, so we're looking forward to it.
You know, that school from across town's coming to visit?
Yeah, that other school.
I'm going to give a shameless plug here. We're going to have live play-by-play of those three matches to awesome. Round out the season on UCLABruins.com, and I'll be pool deck with you, so don't splash me too much. Let me talk a little bit about your career, Larissa, because you were a prolific high school star, 362 goals. You got one this year for UCLA in some reserve duty.
Yeah.
Tell me how it felt when you saw the ball go in the cage.
I was really excited. It was my first goal of the season, and I was really excited that I got to do it at home, and it was cool. It was really cool.
It's a great facility, isn't it, that Speaker Aquatic Center has?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Remember the old rec center pool. It's a lot different playing in front of these crowds.
It's different, but I think, you know, I miss Sunset Rec in a lot of ways, but, excuse me, we're a new team now, you know, it's nice to be in a new place, and there's something about Speaker that's just awesome. You know, the way the stands are set, it's kind of like a stadium. You know, people are looking down at you, and it feels really big, and it's really comforting to have that as your home turf. You know, so.
Speaking of that big game coming up against USC, what are some of the main things you need to focus on and you think your team needs to come together with?
Definitely power plays 6-on-5. We've had some trouble converting those, but we've been putting in hours and hours of practice towards that, so hopefully it comes through. And I think one key is going to be putting a whole game together. You know, a lot of our big players have, you know, one of them has had a good game, one game, and then not so much the other, and so you know, and we haven't played a full game, I would say. So if everybody can play at their best together at the same time, if we can put four complete and whole quarters together, I think that's a ticket to success. And I think we've been working towards that this whole month. So
I almost feel like we could have had this conversation last year, because the Bruins were in about the same situation last year, mm-hmm. and ended up winning the MPSF tournament. Just a great performance. I know your head coach, Brandon Brooks, another year of experience mm-hmm. behind him. You got to feel pretty optimistic, Larissa, knowing that you guys were in the same spot last season.
Exactly. Like Hannah said, it's like nothing we're not used to, and I think we're looking forward to the MPSF tournament to really show what, because we have such a good team, and to just show a complete tournament and hopefully go out and win that tournament again. So we're excited. It's not like a scary thing for us. It's like exciting for us.
Now this year the MPSF is up in San Jose. You're not getting to play at home at Speaker. What are some of the adjustments you have to make when you go on the road?
I think you're in a hotel, maybe be a little more focused. You're not like at home in your own, you know, space. So it takes a little extra like mental focus, I guess, to be away. So, and we just had a game there last Saturday. So we got a feel for the pool and how it is and stuff. So.
And it was a good win for the Bruins.
It was a good win. Exactly. So that's a good way to start off the vibe for the MPSF tournament.
I have to ask you a question, Hannah. I know everybody out there watching is asking the same question. How do you get that hair inside the cap?
It's a struggle. You know, I have to have someone help me, and I put it up in a bun, and then I, you know, someone helps put it over my head. But I have a cap rip once a week, and almost every time I play, it comes off. So, I mean, it's a struggle, but, you know, it's doable.
Well, good for you for working it out.
Yeah, thank you.
Assess your season. How do you think you've grown over the year? Now, you know, you have been here for a couple of years. How has your play changed in the last couple of years?
It's really different coming from the high school stage to the you know, college level stage. And it's really hard and really rare to see, I think, a freshman athlete come in with all this confidence and, you know, for lack of a better word, like the swagger that you used to have in high school, you know, and it's hard to get that confidence sometimes. And I think I'm at a point now where it's like I'm more comfortable, you know, and it took me a while to get there, and some people get there sooner than others, but I'm a little bit more comfortable now and relaxed and not as uptight. So I think my mental game has changed more than anything. So.
Water polo is such a small community that you see a lot of the same players in high school that you then see in mm-hmm. the college ranks. But is it interesting when you are facing somebody that you may not have seen for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the same way, that it's so small that you should know everyone. So when you get this girl that's like maybe a top scorer and you've never heard of her, you're like, who is that? So yeah, it's kind of, usually you know the players, the top players from high school and stuff, because it's such a small world.
I'm from Coronado in San Diego, and we have like a huge, you know, like our community is a huge water polo community. I might even say that that's like our community's favorite sport. And right now we have two other of my high school teammates on this team, Katie Estrada and Kelly Ronimus. We have a freshman at Cal right now who's doing awesome, Ashley Young. We have girls at Maryland, Carly Hoshko. We had a girl at Northridge, SDSU. So it's really fun, because it's kind of awkward, you know, when you're playing them. I've actually been caught like laughing and, you know, looking the other way, but like it's really fun to see people that you recognize and you feel comfortable with in the community. So it's pretty cool.
When it comes to this point in the season, what are your workouts like?
We don't really back off at this point. They're still pretty tough, and you know, we practice twice a day, and right now we're just focusing on like our fundamentals again, not losing focus of the simple things, because that's what wins games. So it's not like we're tapering or anything, so they're still pretty tough.
Hannah talked about working on the 6-on-5. Of course, you also got to work on the 5-on-6 defense. That's such a key part of the game. And spending
exactly.
some time working on that as well?
Yes, equally as much time as the 6-on-5, because it's just as important. You know, defense wins games. So we've been working on that a lot, too. I think our 5-on-6 has improved a lot, and so has our 6-on-5. So hopefully this Saturday we can show what we've been working on in practice.
Well, you finished with 3 conference games, and then the MPSF tournament, you've got a bunch of other games. You're going to see the same teams over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Have you held some things in reserve that you may not show until the MPSF tournament?
Yeah, usually we come out with some new stuff for MPSF, but mostly we got to keep things simple in the big games. So, and like you said, these are teams we've seen before, so we know their, you know, players, and we know how to react to what they throw at us. So, yeah.
Still a young team, but Caitlin Dement got to play a lot of minutes last season, and mm-hmm. she's been in the cage for UCLA. It's nice knowing that you have an experienced keeper back there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no comparison to having that confidence of a good goalie behind you, you know, because it gives you that confidence to counter the other way. As soon as the ball goes, it's probably not going in. You know she's going to block it, and you have the right of way to just, you know, streak down the pool and not look back. So that's definitely a key point for us.
We talk a lot about the legendary workouts, the 5 a.m. in the water, but take us through an average day. What is your training schedule like? How do you mix in your schoolwork with all that?
I mean, let's say we're still lifting at this point. So on the days that we lift, we're up at 6:30 in the weight room by 7, straight from the weight room to morning practice, which is a couple hours, usually conditioning, some passing, some shooting. And that's usually a lot of our 6-on-5 time. And then we go to class and grab some food if you have time. and then evening practice for a couple of hours as well. And then wake up and do it again, I guess.
Well, would you say that the water polo athletes are the best conditioned athletes on campus?
I mean,
we practice a lot.
I don't know. I've never seen another team's practice, but I know that we're in a pretty good spot. And we spend a lot of time, you know, cross conditioning and swimming as well. So
yeah.
What attracted you to come to UCLA? Obviously, great reputation. Adam Krikorian built the program into a national powerhouse. But Larissa, how did you end up in Westwood?
When I came on my recruit ship, I just saw the team and how close the girls were, and just like the camaraderie of them really like made me want to come here, because I've been on other recruit trips and it didn't really seem like some of the girls were maybe like as good of friends. But I came here and everyone was just such good friends, and obviously the success of the program and the beautiful campus, like what's not to like. So, yeah.
And Hannah, same question to you. What put UCLA in your eyes?
Pretty much the same thing. You know, there was like an incomparable vibe from the girls on this team when I was, you know, looking up at the kind of team that I want to be a part of. And, you know, you see that these girls are best friends in the water and outside of the water. And I think that's something so unique and so rare, you know. So that's pretty much what sold me. And also I wanted to study Spanish and culture and community, and that was a major that they offered here. So I was sold too.
Yeah.
Are there any interesting traditions that the team has to keep that bond strong?
That you can talk about?
We can't really reveal that.
No. I mean, you know, we have a typical pregame huddle, just us without the coach, and
we usually go to dinner the night before a game, dinner. Just little
we
stuff.
Just,
like
we
that.
Just spend a lot of time together, so it's there's just a lot of comfort and ease between everybody. And I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything specific or.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah, we do have a little huddle, and that's.
Well, check them out on UCLABruins.com. Games at the Speaker Aquatic Center, then the MPSF tournament right around the corner. Thank you both for joining us, and best
Thanks.
Of luck as you head
Thanks
into tournament time. And thank you for joining us on another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. Naomi and I will be back next week. We'll see you then. So long for now.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.